Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for August 13, 2024. MDC Board approves Costco agreement by Mella McEwen, oil editor, Midland Development Corporation. Board members made quick work of approving an economic development agreement to bring Costco to Midland. After just a few minutes of discussion, board members unanimously approved a resolution authorizing the economic development and performance agreement between MDC, City of Midland, and Costco. Under the agreement, the MDC will reimburse Costco up to $6,502,544 for infrastructure related to the store. Payment will proceed as follows: $2,167,514.67 within 30 days of Costco completing the 174,000 square foot store, investing $50 million in capital improvements, and creating 100 full-time jobs. Those capital improvements include extending Sinclair Avenue west of Loop 250 and constructing a new north-south road. Construction on the new Costco is supposed to begin no later than June 1st, 2025, and completed no later than August 31st, 2026. A second payment of $2,167,514.67 will be paid when Costco certifies it has created and maintained those 100 jobs for 1 year. The final $2,167,514.66 will be paid after Costco certifies it has created and maintained those 100 jobs for 2 years. Costco is excited to enter Midland, said Brian Whalen, managing broker with Northwest Atlantic, provides real estate advisory services for Costco. This will be a great partnership, he told board members, noting that the deal came together very quickly. Midland City Council will now take up its part of the deal, considering a series of property tax and sales tax reimbursements. Under the deal between Costco, the City of Midland, and MDC, the city will reimburse 50% of ad valorem taxes for the first 20 years and reimburse 100% of sales and use tax for the first 30 years. City Council to vote on Costco special election for soup kitchen by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. Midland City Council will tackle a number of issues during its meeting at 10 a.m. Tuesday in Council Chambers at City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Here's a rundown of major items on the agenda. Costco deal on Friday. It was announced that a deal between the city, Midland, Costco deal on Friday. It was announced that a deal between the city, Midland Development Corporation, and Costco was in the works to bring the popular warehouse retailer to an area between State Highway 191 and 158. Council members will vote on approving the incentive packages, which will include reimbursements from the MDC not to exceed $6.5 million for infrastructure and site-related improvements, as well as certifying that Costco hires 100 new full-time equivalent jobs. A rebate of 50% from the city of its portion of real and personal property tax for 20 years, and a 100% rebate of the total of sales and use tax receipts for 30 years. The agreement is performance-based. Costco must make a minimum capital investment of $50 million in a 174,000 square foot facility. This is at least the third attempt in 10 years to bring Costco to the Midland-Odessa area. The closest Costco currently is in Lubbock at 6020-6020 34th Street. Special election. City Council will vote on whether to hold a special election for the conveyance of a portion of Hidalgo Park to Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, which sits on the corner of Orchard Lane and Carver Street. The special election would be held on November 5th, the date of the 2024 general election. Ballpark upgrades. Council members will consider approving a $236,208 contract for the installation of wall pads at Momentum Bank Ballpark, home of the Midland Rockhounds. The total includes $11,247.56 in contingencies in case of a cost overrun. Groundwater treatment. The city recommends awarding a contract to True Clear Water Solutions for advanced groundwater treatment in the amount of $1.44 million. The funds are available in the Utilities Fund The funds are available in the Utilities Fund Unappropriated Fund Balance. TrueClear is looking to use its advanced molecular oxidation system to treat groundwater for the city. This item was tabled at a previous meeting. Airport improvements. Council will consider authorizing the mayor and city attorney to execute two grants from the Federal Aviation Administration. The first is $3,747,275 for the asphalt air carrier project at Midland International Air and Spaceport. And the second is $2,975,211 for the runway blast pad improvement project. Alcohol permits. Three restaurants are seeking approval of alcohol permits. Woody's Hideaway at 5701 Starboard Avenue in the Gateway Plaza. St. Blaise, 508 West Wall Street in the Frost Bank Building. La Florida, 2010 West Longview Avenue in the Midland Crossing Shopping Center. Actuary Retainment. Council will consider retaining actuarial firm Foster & Foster for 1 year for a sum not to exceed $150,000. Midland supports Bryce Hopple with Watch Party. More than 1,200 people showed up to cheer on the Midland High graduate as he competed at the Paris Olympics. By BK Richter, staff writer. Midland residents showed up in full force Saturday to support Midland High graduate and 2024 Olympic competitor Bryce Hopple. Hopple competed in the finals of the men's 800-meter run during the Paris Olympics. The City of Midland and the Midland Rockhounds sponsored a watch party at Momentum Bank Ballpark for the world-class athlete. According to Rockhounds General Manager Shelley Hengy, more than 1,200 attendees showed up for the event. Hengy said guests began lining up outside the doors of the ballpark an hour before the event started. There were people lined up at 10 a.m. and they were wrapped around the building, she said during a phone interview. People wanted to come together as a community. Team USA fans were either seated or standing inside the Diamond Club or watched the stadium's video screen from the stands. One thing was apparent from the display of fans and supporters attending the watch party. They all loved Hopple and were there to cheer him on. People were filled with emotion while visiting and sharing heartfelt thoughts and affection for Bryce with such pride, Hengy said. It was apparent that he has genuinely touched people's hearts as they follow his accomplishments on his journey, joining him each step of the way. Guests on various renditions of the colors red, white, and blue for Team USA, while others waved miniature American flags that were passed out to supporters during the event. Additionally, children and adults lined up to receive temporary tattoos of the American flag, while others signed a public banner sharing words of encouragement for the world athlete. Hengy stressed the amount of emotion and connection that attendees felt during the watch party. I loved how everyone in the ballpark on Saturday felt connected to Bryce and to one another through him, she said. It was Bryce who energized the community to gather for this event as he represented Midland in the Olympics. Hopple did come up one place short of a medal. However, fans still applauded and shouted encouragement. Hopple shattered an American world record Saturday, finishing with a time of 1 minute and 41.67 seconds. Kenya's Emmanuel Wanyonyi was awarded the gold medal with a time of 1:41.19. Canada's Marco Arap placed second with a time of 1:41.20, and Algeria's Jamel Sajadi finished third in 1:41.50. The Rockhounds were honored to partner with the City of Midland in hosting the watch party. It was a moving experience, bringing so many people together from throughout our community to celebrate Bryce. He is an inspiration to all, and it brought great joy to be here cheering Bryce on from his hometown as he competed on the world stage, Hengy said. City Council to vote on Costco special election for soup kitchen by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. Midland City Council will tackle a number of issues during its meeting at 10 a.m. Tuesday in council chambers at City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Here's a rundown of major items on the agenda. Costco deal on Friday it was announced that a deal between the city, Midland, Costco deal on Friday. It was announced that a deal between the city, Midland Development Corporation, and Costco was in the works to bring the popular warehouse retailer to an area between State Highway 191 and 158. Council members will vote on approving the incentive packages, which will include reimbursements from the MDC not to exceed $6.5 million for infrastructure and site-related improvements, as well as certifying that Costco hires 100 new full-time equivalent jobs. A rebate of 50% from the city of its portion of real and personal property tax for 20 years, and a 100% rebate of the total of sales and use tax receipts for 30 years. The agreement is performance-based. Costco must make a minimum capital investment of $50 million in a 174,000-square-foot facility. This is at least the third attempt in 10 years to bring Costco to the Midland-Odessa area. The closest Costco currently is in Lubbock at 6020 34th Street. Special election. City Council will vote on whether to hold a special election for the conveyance of a portion of Hidalgo Park to Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, which sits on the corner of Orchard Lane and Carver Street. The special election would be held on November 5th, the date of the 2024 general election. Ballpark upgrades. Council members will consider approving a $236,208 contract for the installation of wall pads at Momentum Bank Ballpark, home of the Midland Rockhounds. The total includes $11,247.56 in contingencies in case of a cost overrun. Groundwater treatment. The city recommends awarding a contract to True Clear Water Solutions for advanced groundwater treatment in the amount of $1.44 million. The funds are available in the Utilities Fund unappropriated fund balance. True Clear is looking to use its advanced molecular oxidation system to treat groundwater for the city. This item was tabled at a previous meeting. Airport improvements. Council will consider authorizing the mayor and city attorney to execute two grants from the Federal Aviation Administration. The first is $3,747,275 for the asphalt air carrier project at Midland International Air and Spaceport, and the second is $2,975,211 for the runway blast pad improvement project. Alcohol permits. Three restaurants are seeking approval of alcohol permits. Woody's Hideaway at 5701 Starboard Avenue in the Gateway Plaza. St. Blaise, 508 West Wall Street in the Frost Bank Building. La Florida, 2010 West Longview Avenue in the Midland Crossing Shopping Center. Actuary retainment. Council will consider retaining actuarial firm Foster & Foster for 1 year for a sum not to exceed $150,000. MDC commits $1 million to widen Avalon Drive to three lanes, by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Midland Development Corporation is partnering with the City of Midland to improve Avalon Drive between Briarwood Avenue and Mockingbird Lane. MDC will pay the city a total of $1 million for work to widen Avalon from two to three lanes in three equal payments over 3 years. MDC will pay $333,333,033. $333,333.34 upon execution of a contract with a third party for construction of the project, and an additional $333,333.33 will be paid each year over the next 2 years upon completion of the work. Assistant City Manager Jose Ortiz told the Reporter Telegram last week that rights of way are being acquired and construction is expected to begin next year. He stressed that the area has grown dramatically and improvements are needed because of that growth. Growth has been happening faster than the city can keep up with, he said. City officials are working to plan projects to address the needs caused by that growth and stay ahead of the curve, he added. Part of that effort is to work with developers on future projects to ensure sufficient infrastructure is in place, he said. The YMCA is building a northwest location at Avalon and Mockingbird that has drawn concern from neighboring residents about the increase in traffic on roads they say are already congested and unsafe. Christine Bearden, chief executive officer at the YMCA, told the Reporter-Telegram last week YMCA has taken out two letters of credit. One will fund extending the sewer line from Bynum School to the new location. The second is to fund infrastructure along the fence line on Avalon that will include a three-lane collector road, bike lane, sidewalk, curb, and gutter. The building itself was also turned to the south away from neighboring residences, and there will be no vehicular traffic from the location onto Mockingbird. Specific lighting will also be installed to reduce light pollution. MDC commits $1 million to widen Avalon Drive to three lanes, by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Midland Development Corporation is partnering with the City of Midland to improve Avalon Drive between Briarwood Avenue and Mockingbird Lane. MDC will pay the city a total of $1 million for work to widen Avalon from two to three lanes in three equal payments over 3 years. MDC will pay $333,333.34 upon execution of a contract with a third party for construction of the project, and an additional $333,333.33 will be paid each year over the next 2 years upon completion of the work. Assistant City Manager Jose Ortiz told the Reporter-Telegram last week that rights-of-way are being acquired and construction is expected to begin next year. He stressed that the area has grown dramatically and improvements are needed because of that growth. Growth has been happening faster than the city can keep up with, he said. City officials are working to plan projects to address the needs caused by that growth and stay ahead of the curve, he added. Part of that effort is to work with developers on future projects to ensure sufficient infrastructure is in place, he said. The YMCA is building a northwest location at Avalon and Mockingbird that has drawn concern from neighboring residents about the increase in traffic on roads they say are already congested and unsafe. Christine Bearden, chief executive officer at the YMCA, told the Reporter-Telegram last week YMCA has taken out two letters of credit. One will fund extending the sewer line from Bynum School to the new location. The second is to fund infrastructure along the fence line on Avalon that will include a three-lane collector road, bike lane, sidewalk, curb, and gutter. The building itself was also turned to the south away from neighboring residences, and there will be no vehicular traffic from the location onto Mockingbird. Specific lighting will also be installed to reduce light pollution. Officials: avoid area of East County Road 173 and South County Road 1110. Midland Reporter-Telegram. Two semi-trucks hauling tanker trailers were involved in a collision at East County Road 173 and South County Road 1110, and officials are asking the public to avoid the area. At about noon Sunday, a vehicle wreck sent two people to the hospital, according to a news release from City of Midland. Two tanker trailers, both of which were empty, fell onto their sides, blocking the roadway. It was unclear from the release if the semi-trucks and trailers were the only vehicles involved in the incident. Images shared by the city show one semi-truck had suffered severe front-end damage near a heavily damaged utility pole. Ahead of this semi-truck was another with both truck and trailer on its side. The Department of Public Safety is working to clear the vehicles from the scene, the release said. No further information was available Sunday afternoon. Site of 2017 Texas church shooting torn down, by Eric Gay, Associated Press. Sutherland Springs on Monday, crews tore down a Texas church where a gunman killed more than two dozen worshipers in 2017, using heavy machinery to raze the small building, even after some families sought to preserve the scene of the deadliest church shooting in U.S. history. A judge cleared the way last month for the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs to tear down the sanctuary where the attack took place, which until now had been kept as a memorial. Church members voted in 2021 to tear it down, but some families in the community of less than 1,000 people filed a lawsuit hoping for a new vote on the building's fate. Authorities put the number of dead in the November 5, 2017 shooting at 26 people, including a pregnant woman and her unborn baby. After the shooting, the interior of the sanctuary was painted white, and chairs with the names of those who were killed were placed there. A new church was completed for the congregation about a year and a half after the shooting. John Riley, an 86-year-old member of the church, watched with sadness and disappointment as the long arm of a yellow excavator swung a heavy claw into the building over and over. "The devil got his way," Riley said. "I would not be the man I am without that church." He said he would pray for God to punish the ones who put the demolition in motion. "That was God's house, not their house," Riley said. For many in the community, the sanctuary was a place of solace. Terry Smith, president of the Sutherland Springs Community Association, visited often over the years, calling it a place where you feel the comfort of everybody that was lost here. Among those killed in the shooting were a woman who was like a daughter to Smith, Joanne Ward, and Ward's two daughters, ages 7 and 5. Smith watched Monday as the memorial sanctuary was torn down. "I am sad, angry, hurt," she said. In early July, a Texas judge granted a temporary restraining order sought by some families, but another judge later denied a request to extend that order, setting in motion the demolition. In court findings, attorneys for the church called the structure a constant and very painful reminder. Attorneys for the church argued that it was within its rights to demolish the memorial, while the attorney for the families who filed the lawsuit said they were just hoping to get a new vote. "It's a very somber day for us," said Amber Holder, a church member who was a plaintiff in the lawsuit. She said she wasn't at the service on the day of the shooting, but arrived soon after. As a teen, she was taken in by the family of the pastor, whose 14-year-old daughter, Annabelle Pomeroy, was among those killed. Holder said the church had become a piece of history, that the scars on the building that from that day, including bullet holes, were a powerful reminder of what happened. The man who opened fire in the church, Devin Patrick Kelly, died on a self-inflicted gunshot wound after he was chased by bystanders and crashed his car. Investigators have said the shooting appeared to stem from a domestic dispute involving Kelly and his mother-in-law, who sometimes attended services at the church but was not present on the day of the shooting. Harmony Public Schools rolls out student meal plan. Free reduced-price breakfast and lunch will be available to eligible students. By Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Harmony Public Schools will offer free and reduced-price meals to eligible students for the upcoming school year. Harmony Public Schools is a charter school system with more than 60 campuses throughout Texas. The West Texas District is tuition-free and open enrollment. Its curriculum, the West Texas District is tuition-free and has open enrollment. Its curriculum places an emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math STEM courses. Providing free and reduced meal prices is crucial for our students' well-being and academic success, said Daniela Marquez, Harmony District Director of Marketing and Communications. "We were committed to working with local agencies to provide that for students to be successful and have a higher standard in their education." On August 1st, Harmony began distributing letters to households of students in the district to explain eligibility benefits for free and reduced meal program. To explain eligibility benefits for the free and reduced meal program and any actions a family may need to take to apply, they also released their criteria for eligibility for free and reduced price breakfast and lunch. They also released their criteria for eligibility for free and reduced price breakfast and lunch. The following criteria is used to determine eligibility. Income. If a household income is at or below the income eligibility levels. Categorical or automatic eligibility. A household receives Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF, or Food Distribution Program on Indian Reservations, or FDPIR. Program participant. A child's status as a foster child, homeless, runaway, migrant, or displaced by a declared disaster, or a child's enrollment in Head Start or Even Start. If a household qualifies for the free and reduced meal program due to income, an adult must fill out an application to the program and submit it to the Child Nutrition Department at childnutrition.westtexas@harmonytx.org. The application inquires the names of household members, the income for each member, Social Security information, and the signature of the adult applicant. Harmony also partnered with local agencies to determine which students qualify for the program under the categorical or automatic eligibility. Families who qualify will be notified of eligibility and do not need to apply. Marquez, the Harmony District Director of Marketing and Communications, said Harmony will help those who need help with the application or formal appeals. They can reach out to the Child Nutrition Program, Marquez said. Our Child Nutrition Coordinator will be the one that provides information and help them get the needed guidance to apply. Marquez added that families can reach out with any questions they may have. I think it's really important to know that Harmony Public Schools is dedicated to ensure that every child has access to nutritious meals regardless of academic status, Marquez said. This meal program is designed to support the families in need, and we want to encourage everyone to check if they're eligible and apply for the benefits. Applications for the free and reduced meal program will be reviewed year-round. Families can also submit a formal written or oral appeal for the hearing on the eligibility decision to the Chief Operating Officer at 9321 West Sam Houston Parkway, South, Houston, Texas, 77099. Harmony Public Schools encourages families to contact the school if a household member becomes unemployed or if the household size increases, because these changes may make a child qualify for the free and reduced meal program. We want to make sure that everybody, all the students, have a good meal every day, Marquez said. Midland ISD and IDEA Public Schools also offer free and reduced lunches. They recently announced that they would implement the Community Eligibility Provision, or CEP, under the National School Lunch and breakfast programs for the upcoming school year. Police search for stabbing suspects. Midland Reporter Telegram. Midland police are searching for two suspects allegedly involved in a stabbing that took place early Sunday morning in South Midland. According to a report from MPD, officers responded to a stabbing at approximately 3:16 a.m. Sunday at the Executive Inn at 1000 South Midkiff Road. The caller, also the victim, stated he had been stabbed in his neck and the actors had left the scene. MPD reported officers arrived on the scene and conducted first aid. EMS arrived on the scene and transported the victim to Midland Memorial Hospital. Midland police officers were able to gather suspect and vehicle information while on the scene. After the victim was stabilized at MMH, he provided a statement. Late Sunday, patrol officers located a black Ford pickup truck. Patrol officers were able to secure and a search warrant for the vehicle, MPD reported. Patrol officers towed the vehicle to a secure location and processed the vehicle with the assistance of Midland Police Department's CSI. The investigation into the incident continues.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, August 15th. OC nearly ready to open Wood Health Sciences Building. Just 6 months in, Odessa College Associate Dean for Health Sciences, Lori Fierro Iverson, has toured the new Wood Health Sciences building several times and is impressed. Estimated cost of the four-story, 83,000-square-foot building is $45 million. The building is due to have classes in it soon, but a grand opening is scheduled for early September. The Medical Center Health System Simulation Hospital is set up like an actual hospital. Students will be able to watch video of themselves to see how they do, and there are mannequins that they can practice on. A neonatal intensive care unit, trauma room, inpatient rooms, and others. There will also be classrooms, conference rooms, and a community room. I think that this is going to be such an amazing opportunity, not only for our students, but also for our community, Fierro Iverson said. This is basically a full functioning hospital that we can provide students with a safe, environment where they can learn. They can practice and finesse their skills and do it in a safe setting without causing any kind of patient harm. The simulation hospital will give programs a chance to work together and help students brush up on their soft skills before they go out into the industry. Everyone is collaborating together. That has never been done in an environment before in this area that I know of. So that soft skill is going to be developed. I think we're really going to see our industry be surprised, but also grateful for the students' opportunity to get that down and not be so awkward, because that's probably one of the most awkward things when they go into the industry, Fierro Iverson said. Before coming to OC, the Fort Stockton native had worked at University of Texas El Paso and Midland College, among other places. She is a registered nurse and earned her Bachelor of Science in Nursing from UTEP, a Master's in Nursing Education, and a Doctorate in Higher Education and Leadership from Maryville University at St. Louis. She added that she would like to bring in physician volunteers to talk to the students and people to volunteer to be patients. We want to invite the community to come. We'll give them scripts so you'll be a heart attack patient and you'll be a stroke patient, and the student will have to talk to the patient in terms they can understand. You've got to learn how to talk to patients at different levels. One thing that I really am a big fan of is bringing chairs to the bedside when you're talking to your patient, because once you sit down and get on their level, instead of having that standing up versus the bed conversation, that barrier also tends to limit what patients will reveal because they're nervous. If you sit down, then it becomes a conversation rather than an interview, Fierro Iverson said. I always tell them, you're not making a chair. We're taking care of a human that is unpredictable, and I guarantee you, you are seeing them on their absolute worst day ever, because they wouldn't be there otherwise. So we have to be compassionate. We have to be understanding. We have to be empathetic, Fierro Iverson said. Those skills can't be taught from a book, but they can be in a safe environment. That's why I like the idea of using our volunteers, because some people have actually gone through these things, she added. OC Vice President of Administrative Services Ken Zartner said tours will be offered after the building opens. He said it really looks like you're at MCH. It's designed so that first responders bring a patient in and they make their way through the simulation hospital as if it were the actual facility. The simulation ambulance mimics the things you would find in an actual ambulance as well. I can't wait until the general public, students, and everybody else can walk in there and be amazed by it. It's a jewel in West Texas, Zartner said. Alzheimer's Association invites Basin residents to join 2024 Walk to End Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's Association is inviting Permian Basin residents to join the fight to end Alzheimer's by participating in the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's on Saturday, October 26th at the Scarborough Sports Complex Conterra Pavilion. This is a pivotal moment in the fight against Alzheimer's. There are now treatments that change the course of the disease, Michael Deller, Executive Walk Chair, said in a news release. We hope that everyone in our community can join us by starting a team to help the Alzheimer's Association raise awareness and funds for families facing the disease today, take more steps toward treatments, and finally ending this disease. On Walk Day, participants honor those affected by Alzheimer's with the Poignant Promise Garden Ceremony, a mission-focused experience that signifies our solidarity in the fight against the disease. During the ceremony, walkers will carry flowers of various colors, each color representing their personal connection to the disease. Nearly 7 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, a leading cause of death in the United States. Additionally, more than 11 million family members and friends provide care to people living with Alzheimer's and other dementias. In Texas, there are more than 459,000 people living with the disease and over 1 million caregivers, the release said. To register and receive the latest updates on this year's Walk to End Alzheimer's, visit alz.org/walk. The Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is the world's largest event to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's care, support, and research. Since 1989, the Alzheimer's Association mobilized millions of Americans in the Alzheimer's Association Memory Walk. Now the Alzheimer's Association is continuing to lead the way with Walk to End Alzheimer's. Together we can end Alzheimer's. Odessa family, YMCA, ready for second Pulling for Our Cause clay shoot fundraiser. After a successful inaugural Pulling for Our Cause clay shoot fundraiser in 2023, the Odessa Family YMCA announced in a Wednesday news release, the second annual clay shoot fundraiser is scheduled to take place August 30th at Jake's Clays, located at 13301 Farm to Market Road, 1379 in Midland. The fundraiser will include a clay shooting competition where competitors will take their aim and skill across various shooting stations. Prizes and awards will be given to individuals and teams. Breakfast and lunch will be served, and this is the perfect opportunity to network with fellow shooting enthusiasts and the Odessa Family YMCA supporters, the release said. We are excited to hold the second annual Pulling for Our Cause clay shoot fundraiser, Odessa Family YMCA CEO Chrissy Medina said. After a wildly successful inaugural clay shoot last year, we have waited in anticipation to invite all of our supporters to the Odessa Family YMCA back to our event this year. All the proceeds from the event will benefit the Odessa Family's YMCA annual campaign, which provides financial assistance to Y memberships, learning centers, and sports programs. Sponsorship opportunities are available. To sign up or register for your team, visit tinyurl.com/3T989TWT or the YMCA Central Welcome Desk. Obituaries, Susan Redman obituary. Susan E. Redman died on May 25th of natural causes in Midland. Cremation arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Pedro Tovar. Pedro Tovar, 89, of Midland, died Friday, August 9th, in Midland. Mass will be celebrated at 10 o'clock a.m. August 14th at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Midland. Burial immediately following in American Heritage Cemetery. Father David is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery. Teddy Eugene Parson, 82, of Odessa, died Sunday, August 4th in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. August 17th at Central Baptist Church. Pastor Vonnie Taylor is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Garden and Funeral Home. Maria Perez Lynn. Maria Perez Lynn, 91, of Odessa, died Monday, August 12th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. August 15th at Odessa Bible Church. Peter N. Taylor is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home of Midland. Music student building classical guitar to play at her recital. University of Texas Permian Basin music education student Mariah Gomez is building her very own classical guitar. She began the process in May and is eager to complete it by early November. I tend to be a little overambitious sometimes and will decide to take on new tasks on a whim. I've never worked with wood before or even held a chisel before this project, but I thought to myself, I'm going to build a guitar, said Gomez. Gomez is building the guitar through the DHSI grant with her mentor, Dr. Rebecca Babcock, and guitar teacher, Jacob Porter. I've been Dr. Babcock's research assistant for a few years, and she has been such an inspiration to me in that she always encourages me to pursue curiosity. And she reminds me that there is always something new to learn, said Gomez. Gomez was inspired by her teacher, Jacob Porter. While he built many guitars himself, it is his first time teaching someone else how to build an instrument. He says in many scenarios, it's made him think differently about the process. Last week, I was working with Mariah on how to hold a chisel in order to cut the channels for the rosette. I've done enough of them that I don't really think have to think about how to do the process. So having to take a step back to think about how to tell another person to do that, said Porter. Over the years, Gomez has borrowed a university-owned guitar. While not uncommon, building her own is not necessarily an easy task. This guitar will be my first classical guitar, and it brings me joy to know I made it personalized for myself. I plan to perform with a guitar at my senior recital, said Gomez. After she completes the guitar and a case for it, she plans on building another. She says the learning process has been so much fun. It's been fascinating to learn how each component of the building process contributes to the final result, said Gomez. A member of the UTPB Mariachi and a local group, Gomez is currently the only guitar student at UTPB. However, she hopes to see the program flourish and become more recognized. I hope that with this project, more people will become aware of the guitar program at UTPB, and it will hopefully gain more students, said Gomez. Alongside building her own guitar, Gomez is the co-founder of Sound and Space Studios, a local music lesson studio in Odessa. She runs the studio with founder and UTPB alumni Joe Estrada. Learn more about the UTPB Department of Music. Learn more about Sound and Space Music Studio in Odessa. TxDOT issues traffic alert for FM 1788 to State Highway 191. The Texas Department of Transportation has issued a traffic alert Wednesday for FM 1788 to State Highway 191, according to a TxDOT news release. Northbound FM 1788 to southbound State Highway 191 North Frontage Road left turn is closed, and southbound FM 1788 to eastbound State Highway 191 South Frontage Road left turn is closed. TxDOT requests drivers to use an alternate route. Permian grad makes the Cowboys cheerleader squad. Yulisa Garcia recently fulfilled a long-held dream of becoming a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. The former Permian Panther PAW and Texas Tech University cheerleader was born and raised a Dallas Cowboys fan in Odessa. Garcia has danced and cheered since she was 2.5 years old. When I was 6 years old, my parents took me to a DCC camp at Valley Ranch, and it was absolutely a dream come true. I spent 3 incredible days surrounded by my role models. Just getting to dance next to the cheerleaders, I think that was the moment I knew that I wanted to audition for the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders and hopefully one day be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, Garcia said in a phone interview. That camp was the most amazing thing I ever did as a little girl. After the camp was over, I went home and wrote the DCC organization a letter, and they wrote back. So I've had that letter for 16 years. That was my inspiration to follow my dreams to become a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, she added. She started dancing and cheering at a very young age. My parents enrolled me in dance class when I was 2.5 years old. So I've been dancing for 20 years now. Dance has always been a huge part of my life ever since. I've loved every second of it. I love performing and dancing. I've had so many amazing journeys with my dance and cheer career, especially in the West Texas area, Garcia said. She was a competitive twirler, a member of Shout Cheerleading, Alpha Cheer and Dance, Tammy Locklear Dance Studio, a 4-year member of the Varsity Panther Paw Dance Team at Permian High School, and a 4-year member of the Texas Tech University Palm Squad, where she got to perform and help around the community. Garcia majored in journalism with a minor in sports media, athletic coaching, and media strategies at Tech. I've always been involved in dance and cheer, and I knew that it was something I wanted to pursue as I got older, Garcia said. She added that she is thankful to her parents, her coaches, and everyone in the Permian Basin that helped her throughout her dance career and believed in her since she was a little girl. The Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders audition process starts with a preliminary video submission where they do an introduction and a 60-second dance. Then it goes into a semi-round, still online. We do choreography that they send us and answer some questions about ourselves. Then we make it into finals where we do another solo and more DCC choreography. From there, we make it into training camp, which lasted a little over a month, she said. Then the team was announced and she found out she made it. It was one of the best days of my life, I'm not going to lie. The moment the team was announced will be the moment that will always hold a special place in my heart. In that moment, I just felt extremely blessed and grateful. I was filled with so much excitement, especially when I was handed my uniform. There were so many thoughts and emotions running through me, but I just couldn't believe that my dream of becoming a DCC were actually official and coming true. This year, she said, there are 24 veterans and 12 rookies on the squad. They are truly the most inspirational, kind, and talented women. Everybody in the DCC organization, the staff, and all my teammates are truly the best people I've ever met. The sisterhood is something so special and something I'm just very honored and excited to be a part of. It's a complete dream come true to be a part of this organization that has so many beautiful and amazing women, both inside and out, Garcia said. The first home preseason game is August 24th, so the cheerleaders are in the process of practicing as much as they can to be as prepared as they possibly can be. The practice schedule depends on the week, but right now they are practicing Monday through Friday from roughly 7 p.m. to around 10 p.m. The practice is mainly the preparation, but Garcia said she believes to be successful at anything in life, you have to be prepared. So you have to do your own preparation as well. And as a dancer and cheerleader, I think that preparation goes both mentally and physically. I've just been practicing a lot, reviewing as much as I can on my own to be prepared for practices, watching film and just dancing as much as I can to make sure my stamina, my mental strength, and my energy are all in good shape for game days, she said. They have practice at AT&T Stadium, but just getting to be inside AT&T Stadium and to say I'm a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader is something that my mind still hasn't wrapped around, but it's the coolest feeling in the entire world, Garcia said. I'm extremely grateful and blessed for every appearance and football game that is coming, and I'm excited for this upcoming season, she added. Her family will come to every game that they can to support her. I owe all of my thanks to them for just being able to give me so many amazing opportunities in my life and sacrifice so much for me. I have the best parents ever. Jeff Russell out as ODC vice president. Just weeks after the Odessa City Council voted to remove Chris Crow from his position as Odessa Development Corporation president, the council kicked his second-in-command, Jeff Russell, out of the office too. The decision came after much sniping by council members and audience members. The final vote was 5-1-1, with council member Chris Haney voting against and Doug Connell abstaining. During his last meeting, the council voted 6-1 to remove Crow after he was accused of prohibiting an attorney hired by the ODC from talking to Mayor Javier Hoven and city staff about using ODC money to address the city's failing infrastructure. Council member Mark Mata led the charge when it came to Crow, but this week it was council member Steve Thompson taking the initiative. Thompson alleged the ODC voted on contractor agreements without properly posting the items under Texas Open Meetings Law, and he also said the contracts hadn't been vetted by the ODC's legal counsel or shared with the contractors. Russell contended the contracts were handled the same way they have always been handled. He said despite City Attorney Dan Jones's opinion to the contrary, ODC attorney Jeff Moore doesn't believe any open meeting laws have been violated. I guess we disagree because I've done my research as well, and I believe, Thompson said before being cut off by Russell. Well, I'll stand on Mr. Jeff Moore, our attorney, who does this for a living, so I'll take his advice over others, Russell said. Thompson reiterated his opinion that the city is entitled to use the sales tax money shared with the ODC for certain infrastructure needs. We've all been through that 14,794 times, Thompson said, citing 501.103, the law governing economic development corporations. Russell shot back, "You tend to lack the willingness to look at the details of 501.103. Thompson then accused Russell of barging into a meeting between Moore and city staff on August 2nd to discuss that law. "I didn't barge in uninvited. My appointee Haney instructed me. He wanted me there," Russell said. The pair then argued about Moore's role and whose interests he represents, the ODC's or the city's. When given the opportunity to speak, Haney made a comment about Thompson having a good way of getting under everybody's skin, before segueing into comments about somebody on the council breaking the law twice. He never got to finish that thought because Jones questioned whether he was sticking to the agenda. "We are on the agenda because we're representing firing somebody again, so we are on this agenda. So now we're firing one of the best workers, you've hurt his people, and now you guys are wanting to fire another one," Haney said. Haney told Thompson he only wanted to get rid of Russell so he could get ODC money without any resistance. "You're wanting to consider money for your roads up there. You want money to consider for other things built up there, for your friends up there, and it's always been known and it's still known today," Haney said. "I don't think you're the man that should be calling this, that you should be asking for somebody to resign. I think you should be resigning from this council and not be re-running again." Haney and Thompson then argued over who said the ODC is not the city's piggy bank, with Haney saying it was Thompson and Thompson saying it was a member of the ODC. "I have never said that," Thompson said. "I'm not a liar," Haney said. "In fact, Crow has said it multiple times." Mayor Javier Hoven asked the city council to remain civil and to maintain a decorum, but moments later Haney said he didn't think Mata should be allowed to vote because Russell pulled papers to run against him in November's election. He said, "This looks like Mark is out to get," before Hoven quickly jumped in. "That is completely false, Councilman Haney," Hoven said. "What else does it look like?" said Haney, interrupting. "Mr. Haney, that is just an opinion, and to erroneously put this in this meeting and make an accusation, I had just said to," Hoven said. "That wasn't an accusation, it's the truth," Haney said, again interrupting. Later, Hovhaness City Secretary Norma Aguilar, who pulled a packet to run against Mata, and she said it was Russell's son. A handful of local residents also shared their views on the situation. Dallas Kennedy said it's clear there's a rift between the council and ODC, and he doesn't care who's to blame, but it needs to be fixed. ODC member Larry Robinson praised Russell's business acumen and said he doubts many of projects that are currently in the pipeline can be accomplished without him. He stays awake and alert anytime he's in the council, unlike Mr. Steve Thompson, who, when he's on this side, is usually asleep. I have probably 40 pictures of him snoozing back here, Robinson said. He told the council it was unconscionable to fire Crow the way it did, with him being out of town with a daughter in the hospital following a car wreck, Robinson said. Ronnie Phillips called Crow's firing a hatchet job and done with the sole purpose of grabbing their money. He said he didn't know Russell, but said his actions have been reasonable. Crow then said removing Russell from the ODC would be a travesty because he brings a lot of energy, experience, and knowledge to the table. He also said the contracts were handled the way they always have been handled. This is, in my opinion, nothing more than a witch hunt. For whatever reason it may be, Crow said, I just urge you to look at the facts. Look at what's here. You've got a great person representing you on the Odessa Development Corporation. Please think twice before you remove Jeff. Ronnie Lewis pointed out Russell has lost all three of the elected positions he's run for in the past, and he thought the council should consider the will of the people when making their decision. Hovind told everyone he considers Crow and Russell friends, and it was extremely hard for him to vote Crow out, but the council has a solemn obligation to do what's best for the city of Odessa and what's best for our citizens. As for Russell, Hovind said he had hoped he'd be cooperative, but it's rather clear to me that I feel that Mr. Russell has got to a point where sabotaging relationships has become his number one thing. After voting Russell out, Mata made the motion to appoint Jean Chavez to replace Crow. It passed unanimously. When Haney tried to appoint Phillips to the ODC board, he was rejected because Phillips needs to fill out an application. This marks the second time Russell has been removed from the ODC. He was removed from the ODC by a 43 council vote in January 2022. At that point, Thompson and former council member Mary Willis called for Russell to be removed after he participated in discussions about a Roads USA proposal at a December ODC meeting, despite telling then-chairman Tim Edgman he had a business relationship with Roads USA. They also said he didn't file conflict of interest paperwork in a timely manner. Russell told council members he was mistaken and he actually doesn't have a business relationship with the company. As for the paperwork, Russell said Edgman doesn't tell him he needed to file such paperwork. Those who voted to oust Russell said his behavior caused the appearance of impropriety. Council member Denise Swanner, who appointed Russell to the ODC, strenuously objected to his removal, alleging Thompson himself has had conflicts of interest and failed to remove himself from discussions. Thompson denied the allegations. In other matters, the council awarded a contract to design and implement improvement measures at the Bob Darrington Wastewater Treatment Plant to Performance Services, agreed to pay just under $3 million to Trion LLC to replace safety fencing and rails at the Darrington plant, make pipes and pump improvements, buy and install grit system mixers, and replace sidewalks, stairs, and two overhead cranes. The company will also remove all water and grit inside the grit removal system. Awarded a $1 million contract to Hydromax USA to evaluate and replace water distribution valves throughout the city. The project will allow city workers to isolate and fix water line breaks more quickly in the future. approve multiple contracts to companies that will be called on as needed basis for engineering and design services, land surveying services, and architectural services. Assistant City Manager Christina Burns has said having an on-call list would save the city time and money by reducing the need for additional meetings, preparing new RFQs, and issuing additional legal notices. Passed a resolution establishing a maximum tax rate of $0.466275 for fiscal year 2024-25. The rate is lower than last year, but will bring in more revenue, with some of that new revenue tied to new properties in the city. Gave Playgrounds Etc. a $349,000 contract to resurface Sherwood Park, according to materials provided to the council by Parks and Recreation Director Max Reyes. The surface will be poured in place, which is cooler than artificial turf, more durable and resistant to vandalism. Right now, the park isn't ADA compliant, but it will become so, Reyes told the council. Chose a logo for the new sports complex. The logo was designed by Karen Pacina, an art student at UTPB.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.